Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, today we our guest, he contacted me a short time ago. He is just so sick. That's Philip Copens. We were going to talk about the ancient alien question. Well, his little girl apparently came home from some school event and brought one of those wonderful microorganisms that just says, woohoo, I've got some people here, let me feast. And he, his wife, and his little girl are all down for the count, but we'll be having Philip on another date. As soon as he gets over being ill, then we're going to be able to have him as a guest. So I am sorry that occurred, and he sends his most sincere apologies. But hey, when you're sick, you're sick. This is Donna Sebo. So what we're going to do is open up the phone lines, and if you'd like to call in at any time during this hour, you can do so. The telephone number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I have been fascinated with how many people I have interacted with this month, and each of them have had a story about the paranormal to share. And one lady was telling me how she had, from the time she was just a very small child, these dreams about future events that would be coming up, and she learned at a very young age, it was, and I'm using modern day terminology because she didn't know it when she was small, it's something like remote viewing, but it's in a time spectrum. It's like a probability spectrum of what could be happening. And she said she learned that that could be plastic to how she did things. When I say plastic, I mean that circumstances could change. Things could be adapted into a different framework. So she, at a fairly young age, began to do that. When she became a mother, and she was quite young when that happened, she said the dreams, her visions, as she called them, made her very much aware of potential dangers, situations regarding her child. And she said, I was able to circumvent them every single time. It's like being forewarned is forearmed. Well, in her case, it was very true. And to this day, she still has this awareness. Yet she was telling me how concerned she was because there was a member of her family that she was having visions about that she said, I know I cannot have any influence on them, and it really makes me sad. And I said, no, don't be concerned about that. Realize that the awareness is to make you alert and cognizant that you have choice. Maybe the individual you're perceiving information about as an adult has the same opportunity for choice, but they're putting themselves into scenes of activity that, one, you don't want to be involved with, and two, well, they're going to have to go through their own lessons of experience. And she said that's true. Interestingly enough, there's no other member of her family that has these talents as she has. And we talked about how not to be afraid of the intuitive perspective. And it makes me a little sad sometimes when people will say, well, I've had this experience and that experience, and I don't want anything to do with the psychic area or anything that has to do with the paranormal. And usually those attitudes come about because of fear. And fear usually is generated by what we don't understand. What we may not be able to control, we fear. And so it's very important as we go through life to realize that many times there are those situations, those conditions that give you information in advance of something happening so that you can be made aware of it. Let me share something with you that happened with me a number of years ago. And this is before we got our two Scotties about 6 years ago, Victor and Kenzie. We had lost our Scotties We had had a pair of Scotties, and they both passed away. So it had been about a year, 2 years, since the last one, whose name was Pepper. When she had passed away, Pepper would come to me over and over again, and usually it was in dreams. And I was very aware of her, and in this one dream, she let me know that there was a puppy that was going to be coming into our home. And in the dream scene, it was at night, and I saw this little puppy, and she brought it to me, and I was made aware, I wasn't sure of the sex of the puppy, but I knew that there was a puppy she was going to bring to our attention. Well, it was within less than 6 months that we had the opportunity to meet Kinsey and Victor, both of whom ended up coming to our home. And when I reflected on the fact that we had this nine-month-old puppy in our house, I thought, she let me know that he was waiting for us. And as it turned out, that's exactly what happened. There was a young mom that had had Victor from the time he was like 2.5, 3 months old, and she had two young children. She wasn't able to manage the children along with the energy of this wonderful dog that we now have called Victor. And then Kinsey, her mistress, had died. So the head of the family wanted to know if we would take Kinsey along with the puppy. It was a rescue group. And by golly, we did, and they were just wonderful additions to our home. Now, someone might say, oh, gee, that might have been a psychological need on your part. Believe me, at the time when I was having these dreams about this puppy, that was the last thing I wanted to do. My schedule was busy. I just didn't want to bring another dog into the house. I just didn't think I'd have the time. And a puppy? You've got to be kidding. Puppies are a lot of work. You have to dog-proof the house. You have to make sure you've got everything set up so that your energetic little person will not destroy, chew up, demolish whatever might be around just because they're a puppy. So you need to be aware of those things. And again, this happened to me. I've had so many situations of information that have been given to me in advance. And sometimes I haven't been able to do anything about it, even when I've tried, but I was forewarned. And I'll share a story with you that happened to me when I was a younger person, and I had this very vivid awareness. I couldn't put a description to it, but I knew something was physically wrong with me. As it turned out, I ended up going to see a physician, who was a gynecologist. I said, I need to be checked. There is something wrong with me physically, and it's in the female pelvis area. He checked me. He poked and prodded like they do when they're wanting to see if there's any tumors or any growths or anything like that. And he said, you're as healthy as you can be. There's nothing here. There's nothing to be seen or found. 3 days later, on my birthday, I ended up being in an emergency room, and I was hemorrhaging. And I was hemorrhaging internally and had to go in for emergency surgery. I knew something was wrong. I took the appropriate action, but there was nothing the doctor could find. Do I blame the doctor? Heck no. It's one of those things that sometimes we're aware of, but as it turned out, I happened to be with someone who knew how to take care of emergency situations because I was in excruciating pain, and he ended up taking me to a hospital and making sure that I was taken care of in prompt time. And it really worked out well. So as it turned out, I was in the right place with the right person in the right situation to take care of an emergency. But I was made aware of it. I wish I could tell you lots of times that those intuitive flashes you might give will give you all the details and information you might need. Sometimes that is the case, but most frequently you seem to get bits and pieces, and it takes a willingness to be open and receptive to it. And sometimes people will say, oh, I just don't want to know anything bad. It's not a matter of something being bad. It's a matter of being prudent. There's more than one story about the Titanic where a woman had a dream and said to her family, you are not going on that ship. I can't tell you. I just see death all around the ship. You are not going. They did not go. They survived. We know the rest of the story. There's many, many stories about people in situations. Even Edgar Casey talked about being in a building, getting ready to take an elevator. He's standing outside the elevator. The doors open. All of these people are inside the elevator. And he said there is no color around them at all. None. And it made him stop, and he just looked, and then the elevator doors closed, and the elevator proceeded to crash. The cable broke, I believe, and all of the people in the elevator were killed. What stopped him was that he saw that there were no colors in the auras of the people in the elevator. He had never seen anything like that. So there's all kinds of situations that we can be aware of. When you're hearing this, and if you yourself have had experiences or you wonder about certain things, give me a call. Let me know about it, because I'll be happy to share the knowledge that I have with you so that maybe you can get past your fears, your apprehensions, your concerns. It is something that is meant to be a tool to be used. The intuitive process in and of itself isn't worth a plug nickel. If you stood all alone, put all of the psychic ability in the world in a room, wouldn't make any difference. It's using it. And since there is nothing but energy in this universe, there's sending and receiving of information consistently and constantly. And you, at some time, may have certain sources of information that come to you that will be so clearly stated that you'll really wonder why you were chosen, why it was that you saw something that was in the process of happening, and what in the world were you going to do with the information? We're all going to have our own experiences, and it's important to understand, number one, try to document them. Because if you document them, first what happens, your conscious mind becomes more comfortable with your intuitive processes. And secondly, what occurs is you might find in the process of writing out what you're remembering, the information of translation that's necessary. You see, we all have a language of our mind. And each and every one of us have to learn how to work with that language. It's really a fascinating prospect. And it's something that in my next class that I'm going to be doing on quantum mind thinking, this is going to be on January the 28th here in the Western Washington area. And I'll be giving you more information about that. That's going to be coming up on January the 28th. So we're going to be demonstrating and talking about these things in the class, along with having Robert Newman again, the feng shui master. He's going to be presenting information on the money frog and other points of interest that make feng shui so fascinating. So I wanted to give you that information too. Donna Sebo here. Our guest today is ill, was not able to make it. We will be talking to him on another day when he's feeling better, obviously. And if you want to call in and chat with me directly, the telephone number to call in to is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Be sure you have a pad of paper and a pencil handy, because I have two real simple recipes. If you're thinking of, gee whiz, I'd really like to have a homemade gift to take to somebody, I have two wonderful recipes here that I want to share. One is peppermint bark. Have you priced that in the stores? Ooh, it's not inexpensive. And chocolate brickle. Both of these are real simple recipes, easy to make, and if you package them up in pretty little bags or containers, oh wow, people are just going to love it. I'll never forget the Christmas when a friend of mine brought me some of her special candied spicy nuts. Oh boy, were those gone fast. My husband and I were fighting over them to a degree, because they were positively addicting. Well, this is the holiday season, and I wanted to share with you a quick little bit of trivial information. People get into the feeling of the season all around the world. And in Thailand, there were workers at a hotel in Bangkok who spent 16 hours creating a Christmas tree that was 17 feet 4 inches tall, and they made it entirely from noodles, and they decorated it with colored sugar. What a project that must have been. And it must have been just spectacular to see, made entirely from noodles and decorated with chocolate sugar. Yum. Well, I wanted to share a few points of information with you today, since we have the time. One is about dementia. One point of information. This is something I know just about everybody is touched by. Sometimes when you have elderly members of the family, this is the course, you know, dementia, there's It's often described as Alzheimer's. There's so many terms through the years that have been used, but it is a reality with a lot of people, and it really is something that causes concern. And the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, which, by the way, if you ever want to check it out, you can go to cdc.gov, they are considering Alzheimer's, one of the most common forms of dementia at this time, but I'll tell you, they really don't know. I think lots of times Alzheimer's is tagged on, and this is my own personal opinion, in the way of a diagnosis, and usually might even not even be that. But they are coming along in understanding about dementia. With technology, we're able to examine the brain in different ways now. Now, dementia isn't a specific disease. Now, that may surprise you. It really is more like a collection of symptoms caused by various disorders within the brain. Now, they will call it dementia when a person has two or more functions, such as memory and language skills, that are affected. Well, you don't necessarily call it dementia when somebody has a stroke, but you work with them, and now they're understanding, and we have a friend that went through a major stroke just recently, and I'm amazed at how well his speech turned around because of the physical therapy they put him through. So the brain has a capacity of getting past that. But when it's significant and they're consciously aware of things otherwise, it is what they label as dementia. Traumatic brain injury, much like a stroke, like I said, can cause this. Now, Alzheimer's can be the most progressive stage of dementia, and they're guesstimating that it's affecting the, well, like 5.3 million Americans. And as our population is aging, this is coming forth more and more. When you realize that most people, as recently as the 70s, didn't particularly live past the age of 60, then we didn't experience it as much. But people are living to be in their 90s. And for generations born today to live past 100 is going to be something that's really going to be pretty commonplace. So this is something we are becoming more aware of. And one of the significant aspects of this is chemistry, brain chemistry. And this is something that they're discovering more and more about, how diet, how nutritional supplementation can make a difference. There are things that can be done because, again, the body is a chemical factory. And as long as the manufacturing process goes along okay, we're fine. But when people are taking medicines or they have certain traumatic things happen to them, it can affect that chemistry. So how do you work with it? Well, that is the challenge that they have. Now, the interesting thing is little by little, through evaluations, they're recognizing more and more of this chemistry patterning. So if you think that someone might be having a problem, you need to be alert to some points. Anyone over the age of 60 can be affected by this, and sadly, Alzheimer's can hit 30-year-olds. I've known of cases like that. So it's really something that is, in today's world, a wide range of age. But typically, it seems like people after 60 have more of a challenge with this. If you have in your family history anything like Alzheimer's, dementia, and it pays to know about your family history if you can become aware of it at all, because it will make a difference. I interviewed a man on the show whose family had a history of Alzheimer's, and he was able to go to the University of Washington and have tests done because they now have discovered a specific gene that will contribute to this mental condition. So he found he doesn't have it, but there were other members of his family, some as young as in their 30s, that were affected by it. And when he checked back on family history, it had run through the family. So the gene apparently skips generations or runs towards females in the family. Males frequently were more affected than the females. It was quite an interesting conversation that I had with him, and one of the things that he wanted to do was to educate people about this so they could find out if there was anything of this nature, because it was something specifically related to heredity. So you can find out a lot. Now, here are some of the things that you may notice. One, forgetfulness. Well, all of us forget things. That's not what we're talking about. But when it gets really, really severe, where it's noticed by friends and family, putting things in the wrong places, such as putting the iron in the refrigerator, you know, dramatic things like that, or milk in the cupboard. If they are not able to follow simple directions, and they've always been able to do this easily, that's another symptom. And they've lost interest in things that normally would occupy them a great deal. And then one of the most dramatic sides, that is the personality changes. And I know many times people that have Alzheimer's or are recognizing themselves that something is going wrong, there is an anger issue. And I have some very good friends that are dealing with this situation in their family, and it's very, very hard. So these are just a few signs, but they can check this out. There are tests now that can be done. This is something that the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke have quite a bit of information on. You can go to NIDS, N like Nelly, I like Ida, N like Nelly, D like Donna, S like Sam, dot N like Nelly, I, H like Henry, dot gov. You can go and check it out and find out more information about this. This is something that I think is worthy of becoming aware of, because there may be a friend that is going through some challenges and you go, how in the world can I help my friend? What can I do to be able to assist them? And I think sometimes just being a good listener is important, but more than that, I think it is having an understanding and then maybe passing along information as you get it. So I think that's always good. And that's one of the things that I feel so privileged about with my show, because there are so many people I've had the opportunity to interview that are medical professionals, that are scientists, that really care about the well-being of people, and they're earnestly trying to give the best care that they possibly can and or information to the public at large so that the public can be aware of some options that they might have to work with. Donna Sebo here. This is an open mic day. Our guest is ill, not able to make it, so give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. I'll tell you what I perceive, and after that, you can ask me a question about anything you like. Well, in December of 1919, there were some letters a little bit uptight in their composition, exchanged between a man called George Thompson, who happened to be the brother of a very, very famous landscape painter, Tom Thompson. Well, between George Thompson and a Mr. J.S. Fraser, who was a proprietor at Mowat Lodge in Canada's Algonquin Park, Tom happened to be staying there when he had died. It was very mysterious. They couldn't figure out what had happened. It had been the previous summer. Now, Tom had gone there to capture the vibrant colors of the environment. He loved to paint. And when he was writing to Fraser, George, Tom's brother, was furious that Fraser had said that his brother had committed suicide. Well, he knew that that wasn't the case. Now, Fraser said, I didn't say this. He said, I didn't say this at all. Actually, it was the coroner that called Tom's death an accidental death by drowning. However, here are a couple of points. They didn't find any water in his lungs, and the coroner never even saw the body. Sounds like something that should be in bones, right? Well, their talented artist, Tom Thompson, he was 40 years old in perfect health, had a marvelous career. He loved to go fishing, and he was after trout. 2 hours after he had gone out into the water, his canoe was seen overturned in Canoe Lake. But the canoe, they thought, drifted away from the main dock, and so nobody paid attention. to the fact that the canoe was out floating upside down in the water. Now, it was 2 days later that a park ranger, Mark Robinson, was concerned. He started searching for Tom because he hadn't been able to find him, and that just wasn't right. So when the park ranger rescued Tom's canoe, turned it upside, you know, turned it right side up, he found fishing equipment, paddles, and an axe. They weren't there. Well, that wouldn't be a surprise, would it? If it turned over, everything went in the water. Well, it was a week later, they found Tom's body in the water. There was a 4-inch gash across his temple, and the fishing line was neatly wrapped around his left ankle 17 times. Someone took the time to count it. Now, it was ordered that the body be left alone until the coroner arrived. Robinson waited for 2 days, but insisted on removing it from the water and burying it in a local cemetery. In the middle of the night, someone, they don't know who, showed up and began to dig up the grave, working by lantern light and claiming to be under instructions from the family. The next day, a soldered shut steel coffin was shipped up by train. This was highly irregular. Robinson reported the irregularity of the affair and was told to leave it alone. Up at the grave site, only a very small hole had been dug. And he suspected the body had never been removed. Tom Thompson left 40 sketches in that cabin, a mystery that has never been solved. Donna Sebo here. I know we're going to be taking a break in a moment. And if you are just tuning in, my guest for the day was not able to make it. But phone lines are open, 888-627-6008. Well, a little bit of Christmas trivia coming up and some wonderful recipes. And I have something about QuickBooks that has come out that I really am fascinated with. We use it here in the Sebo house. It's great for anything and everything you want. But, you know, they are coming out with so many different applications. And I'm always fascinated with how people are able to utilize technology in new ways. And they have upgraded their program significantly, and you're going to be able to track everything, and it's called QuickBooks Online. So you can check it out if this is something that you are a small business, an individual wants to keep records on everything. You might want to check it out, see how it works, because it does make a difference. And anything that saves us time is really important. And also, so many of us are wanting to do plans for retirement. And so many people's financial baskets have been totally turned over, and they're finding they're having to start over again. And many individuals, a lot of them women, are deciding to open up small businesses of their own. So if you're looking for a way to prepare for retirement, look at, there's still the 401k plan that's available, but there is also Roth funds. And you might want to check it out because even though you're paying taxes when you put money into the Roth in the beginning, when it comes time for you to take it out, you're going to get it tax-free. So there's a lot of things that we can work with even in what is seemingly an uneasy economy. And I firmly believe in innovation and resourcefulness. And in one of my upcoming newsletters, I'm going to have a phenomenal story about how the people of Germany are making a difference and why their books are in the black and not in the red. So that'll be coming up in one of my newsletters. But be aware. Don't be fearful. You can make plans and you can have that retirement fund. There are things that you can do. And by the way, if you're a mature person and you say, oh my goodness, I'm in the 60s, I can't do this, that, or the other, I want you to get out of your mental pity pot and I want you to realize you have just as much opportunity to make money as a younger person does. With the world of technology today, there's a lot of options available to you, no matter what your age, where you can generate an income. So don't be afraid to explore, and don't be afraid to check it out. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with How to Survive Your Financial Crisis. Vivian Gaspar is going to be my guest. So we'll be talking more about money tomorrow. Tell your friends and tune in. And, of course, on Friday, in preparation for the Christmas holiday, there is going to be the Donna Siebel Christmas Special. And I'm going to be preparing to spend time with friends and family, myself. And then on Monday, we are going to have a Best of Donna as well. And then I've got a whole lineup of guests. And if you want to check out on who the guests are, then all you have to do is go to show information on the Donna Siebel Show level at BBS Radio. And by golly, you'll find out everything there. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Siebel. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Siebel to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. If you're like me, wait a minute. Let me give you the phone number to call into if you'd like to talk with me today, 888-627-6008. If you've had a paranormal experience and you want to talk about it, find out what's going on, what it means, et cetera, give me a buzz, too. I'm happy to do a reading for you as well, but, you know, either way, I don't care. Just give me a buzz, ask the question, and I'll tell you what I know. 888-627-6008. We'll have that pad of paper out now because I've got these two recipes now. These make fabulous gifts. They are so easy to make. And people will just say, wow, do I remember the year when you gave me this peppermint bark or the chocolate brickle? I don't know about you, but there's something about the holiday season. It's just like the baking, cooking bug hits. And it bites with a fury. And I know I've been in the kitchen baking all kinds of things. And I'll share a tip with you that has just been loved by so many people through the years. And I just did this by accident many years ago. I take a sugar cookie recipe, and then I take the citron that you find in the tubs at the supermarkets that's cherries and pineapple, and it's all in there, all in little tiny pieces. And after I make my sugar cookie dough, I roll the citron in, and you have more citron than you do candy, than you do dough, and I just bake them. Oh, those cookies are incredible. You bake them at 350 degrees. It takes about, depending on the sugar cookie recipe you use, it's anywhere from 10 minutes to 20 minutes. And if you make a bigger cookie, it'll take you 20 minutes. And if you make a smaller cookie, it will take about 10. You have to watch it, because I did a batch this past weekend, and I found some of them were really crispy, and it's because I put them in too long, because I'd made smaller cookies. I'm having a huge group of people at the house, so I am preparing for that. So I wanted more bite-sized types of cookies where they could just pop them in their mouth. But they cooked really quickly. Okay, peppermint bark. People love this, absolutely love this. Now, this is what you're going to need. You're going to need peppermint candy canes and 18 ounces of white chocolate. And you want to chop the white chocolate up. And if you have peppermint extract, you might want to add a couple of drops, just a couple of drops, because your peppermint candy is going to be real strong. Now, the peppermint extract is an option. Now, this is what you do. You're going to line your baking sheet with parchment or wax paper. I think I'd recommend the wax paper myself, but either way, you put your candy canes in a heavy-duty plastic food storage bag and whack them. That's right. Just if you've got one of those meat tenderizers, that's what I do to smash my walnuts and whatever other nuts I put in recipes. And you want to break up those candy canes into quarter-inch chunks or smaller. You need about 1 cup of them. Then you take your 18 ounces of white chocolate, and you put it in a glass bowl set over a pot of hot, not simmering, water. The water has to be hot. And you stir it until the chocolate is melted and smooth. Or you might want to use your microwave. You can put it in a 2-quart glass dish on high for about a minute, stir, and just do it like for 10-second increments until it's just smooth and silky shiny. You take your candy chunks, put it in with a melted chocolate. If you want, add a drop of, or maybe 2 drops, depending on your taste, of peppermint extract. You mix that up quickly. You pour the mixture onto your baking sheet. Put it in the refrigerator. Yeah, you don't cover it. Just put it right in the refrigerator because it's on that nice big baking sheet. And it, with a metal baking sheet, it really gets cold fast. You should leave it in there for about 45 minutes. Then you take it out, remove it from the baking sheet, break it into a regular piece, and serve. And I know we've got a caller, so keep that pad of paper handy because the chocolate brickle, I'm a sucker for chocolate. This is great. But you can double or triple this first recipe I gave you. Let's go to our first caller for the day. Hi, happy holidays. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Roger from Nebraska.
Oh, hi, Nebraska. Roger. Well, excuse me?
From Nebraska.
From Nebraska. Where in Nebraska?
Oh, Lincoln.
In Lincoln. Well, so glad you can join us. Is there snow on the ground back there?
No, we got missed by it, luckily.
Aha, you're one of those lucky ones because they're giving all kinds of warnings for storms back in the Midwest. It's really hitting a lot of places hard.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
well,
let's get down.
Can I ask my,
Can I ask
my question?
You betcha, go right ahead.
I keep waking up quite a number of times with a quick body jerk. I wonder, is that anything to worry about, or is that that an OBE has taken place?
You're exactly correct. When you have this jerking sensation when you wake up, you are coming back into your body. Many times, and this is something that everybody does, by the way, this is not an uncommon situation. To be consciously aware of it is something that is a good thing because that makes you realize that there's more going on when you're sleeping than you would think. Now, some people might say, gee, you might have some kind of a disorder if you're jerking when you wake up. But that's not the case. You've got good balance. This isn't the issue. But, yes, that is what happens. You are out of the body and you come back in. Now, many times what can happen is something will cause you, when you're in a sleep, to awaken and you snap back into your body and you might end up with a headache. Have you ever had that happen to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. If you're in a position to do so, because it is a reaction of the body, if you can just go back to sleep for a while, that will help stabilize the nervous system and move your body. You often will find that the headache will be gone. It's really quite interesting. And I can remember having so many experiences like this when I was younger, and wondering if there was something wrong with me. And then I read information put out by a Tibetan Lama. His name was Tuzdi Lobsang Rampa. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but his books are really fascinating, and I believe a lot of them are out of print right now. But he explained that that often is what happens. So I read that suggestion that he put out, and I thought, I'm going to try it, and it makes a difference. It really, really does. But many times that is what happens. So just try to go back to sleep. And one of the things that I think can help is if you make an affirmation before you go to bed that when you awaken, your body will be in harmony so that you'll come back into your body. But often we have alarms that go off or, you know, if you have little kids in the house or something's going on with a pet, bingo, there you are. You snap back in. And it can be uncomfortable at times, but it's nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I thought that might be it because I've had conscious OBEs before, but I don't remember all the time, though.
Wow. When did you start recognizing you were having conscious out-of-body experiences?
I don't know. I just had a few of them, and it's a long story, but that's why I thought maybe that was it instead of a medical problem. So I'm glad that you told me that, you know. So.
Well, I think you would know if you had a medical problem, but since you've already had conscious out-of-the-body experiences, you might be in a very heightened state of sensitivity. And when that occurs, it's important that you mentally, as I say, go to sleep, prior to going to sleep, with the affirmation that you are going to come back into your body easily, that you don't need to snap back in. Sometimes you can't help it, though, because of various situations. I know it's happened with me more than once, and I go, oh, gee whiz, but usually it's because of something that I need to be alert to. So you come back in really, really fast, and I think there are many women. There might be some even listening now as moms with children. Bingo, they snap back in and go, oh, gee whiz, I feel like I've been around the world 40,000 times. I'm exhausted. You don't feel like you're getting any rest. So it's, I think having the affirmation before you go to bed and just consciously saying, I want to come back into my body easily and readily. I think it's marvelous that you're able to do it on a conscious level. Not a lot of people can.
So the headaches I'm having, they're from snapping back into my body too quick? Is that what you're saying?
Well, if you get it immediately upon awakening, yes. That often is a contributing factor.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. I hope you got some information that's of value to you.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Roger, for calling in. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Okay, here is the chocolate brickle recipe. Really, really easy. Okay, 1.5 cups of light brown sugar, 1.5 cups of light brown sugar, 1 cup of butter. Don't substitute any of the non-fat stuff. We're going to use the real stuff here. 1 cup of butter, 1.5 cups of your favorite nuts, and if they're already roasted and salted, that's even better. But if you didn't want that, you could do it without the roasted nuts. Personally, if I'm going to be decadent, I really want to do it right. So 1.5 cups of mixed nuts, peanuts, almonds, cashews, whatever you like, Brazil nuts, go for it. And 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1 package, 12 ounces of semi-sweet chocolate chips. Yum. Okay. Chocolate, I'm a winner for that. All right, now this is what you're going to need. You're going to need a 13-by-9-inch baking pan. What you want to do is spray it with your nonstick cooking spray. You want to take a piece of parchment paper, and you want to line the bottom with it, and you coat the parchment paper with the nonstick spray as well. Now, in a pot, you're going to put your sugar and butter, and over medium heat, you want to stir it constantly. Just stir it constantly. Don't raise the heat. Keep it on a medium heat. Stir it constantly, and eventually it's going to start bubbling. And you want to cook it, continuing to stir consistently until the mixture reaches 280 degrees on a candy thermometer. Now, this is going to be about 5 to 7 minutes, so you got to be patient with this. Stir in your nuts, cook it again, stirring it for another 2 to 3 minutes. You want all of those nuts well covered. You're going to take the pot off the heat. You add your vanilla, stir in your vanilla, and then you pour it into your baking pan. And then you sprinkle some chocolate over the top. And as the chocolate begins to melt, you gently spread it with a knife. Does that sound good? You betcha. You're going to refrigerate this, too, until the chocolate is set and the candy's nice and hard. It's going to be, maybe 20, 30 minutes. And then you invert your pan. It's going to come right out of that baking dish just beautifully. And you want to cut it into squares or just break it into pieces. And you want to store it in an airtight container in the refrigerator. This is something that if you take it in a box, it's lined with, you know, tissue paper or wax paper, whatever you want to use, it is so good. And this is one where you want to make a double or triple batch. It doesn't take all that much time. And you just have to remember to be consistent with the stirring. It's absolutely yummy. And, of course, you know it doesn't have a calorie in it, right? striped. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. There is a company in the United States. It's 143 years of age, and I don't think, well, I really can't imagine it ever going out of business. It's a company that brings a special magic to weddings, to holidays of all kinds, especially during the holiday season here that we're experiencing. It's a favorite with young and old alike. Well, what is it that I'm talking about? I am talking about Martinelli's apple cider, sparkling apple cider, and it is one of my favorite beverages. And I've just loved it for years, but I had no idea that the company was 143 years old. So when I got some information on it, I thought I would share it with you because it was founded in 1868. John Martinelli was the president. They have 250 employees at this time. And their product, well, it goes just about everywhere. And if you're having a gathering of any kind, you want to serve something that's non-alcoholic but is a bubbly, this is absolutely phenomenal. Now, for five generations, the family have been choosing and pressing apples to make their fabulous, fabulous cider. And they use U.S.-grown apples. They're not importing apples from out of the country. So they're making it right here with our own stuff. And being in the state of Washington, we're known, we're renowned for our delicious apples. And believe me, not just delicious red apples. We have delicious apples of all kinds. One of my favorite is the John Gold. I just love that. And if ever you want to go up into the Wenatchee area of Washington during October, oh my goodness, you'll have apples that you didn't even know existed that are utterly, utterly delicious, picked right off the trees. But anyway, the Martinellis, their favorite apple for making juice is a Newtown Pippin. That's their signature variety. That's what they like to use. And they have a staff that wash and hand sort the apples that come in. And they're very strict about the standards of the apples that they use. So if they don't qualify for the making of the cider, then they don't stay in line. And they have massive machines that grind, press the pulp, and the juices obviously come through just wonderfully. And they filter it at orchard temperature. It's not boiled and vacuumed to a concentrate like so many of the other juices that you buy in the store. So they have what they call a flash pasteurization process, and you get it all. The apple essence is just absolutely amazing. Now, how did this all start? Well, there was a 15-year-old Swiss immigrant named Stephen G. Martinelli, and he was, in 1859, making soda water in a lean-to on the barn, and he added ginger ale. And guess what he did? He ended up patenting orange champagne. Have you ever heard of that? I hadn't. So that was a point of information I didn't know. In 1868, when the company was established, and obviously he was older when he did this, he introduced his bottle-fermented champagne cider, and he used his brother's apples. And 17 years later, he moved to a new production plant, put out a hard cider, followed by a soda. He had five different flavors of soda and apple cider. His son joined him in the business, and then, as luck would have it, Prohibition hit. Well, they were producing what was considered an illegal product. So because of that, they ended up creating the sparkling cider. And they couldn't be fined or closed down for that. Well, they've gone through some tough times, but by golly, by the time 1979 came around, consumer demand was so high, they were hard-pressed to keep up with it. They ended up rebuilding their plant, doubling their apple production, and tripling their sparkling cider volume. Well, they had a challenge in the 1990s because the Chinese came into the market and started sending concentrated juice, apple juice, at half the price of theirs. And he said, we were able to survive even that onslaught because our product is so unique and so delicious. And I am so glad they didn't capitulate to the influx of a product that was so inferior to what they do. So anyway, I thought I'd share that with you because I think it's important to know about businesses that have stood the test of time and put out a quality product, and it's right here in the U.S. of A. That's a very good thing. Nicole Dunley said, branches sugar-coated with snow sparkle in the noonday sun. Nature's Christmas card to us. And I think that's so true in so many parts of the country right now. And for many of you listening, you might be experiencing even some more of that as time goes on. But hey, we're not going to have a white Christmas here in Seattle, and we are perfectly content with that. Thank you very much. I wanted to share a delightful writing about a starter angel, and I have this charming photograph in front of me of an old-fashioned Christmas card that is an angel of a candle holder, and it's got this pot between its hands, and in that little pot is the candle. And this is how the poem reads. It's called Starter Angel. This is the perfect starter angel for children who've never had a guardian angel before. Though she looks young, don't be fooled by cherubic cheeks. In angel years, Celestina is over 2,000 years old and has vast experience creating butterflies and balls that entice toddlers away from busy intersections. She makes the tap water stop before the bathtub overflows and will provide bright moonlight anytime the nightlight bulbs burn out. A perfect Christmas present for children ages 2 to 6. No assembly required. Just a charming little poem there. Christmas is filled with so many wonderful things, and I think the most important aspect of the holiday is the warm camaraderie, the beautiful music. Of course, you know me. I just absolutely love all of the imaginative decorations that people put out. But more than anything else, it is the fellowship with people, the good food, the sharing of time. And I just like the wonderful, wonderful attitudes of people. There are, I know, a lot of people that maybe have circumstances that aren't so positive, but we can all be grateful for something. And if you know of a group or an organization that really could use your help, you might want to volunteer, like a friend of mine did, for assisting with a Christmas dinner or doing something that maybe is a little bit different from anything you've done before. Remember, whenever you give to others, you're also giving to yourself. And when you do it with the spirit of exploration and openness, you might find that the benefits and the blessings are far beyond what you ever could have imagined. I was going to share with you a story about Christmas angels in a pickup truck, but I'll have to save that for tomorrow. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. No matter where you are, you're blessed. No matter what's going on in your life, there is something so magical about you. Whatever your conditions and circumstances, just know you can rise above whatever difficulty there is. Maybe you have to ask for some help. But more than anything else, be grateful for this experience of life that you're living, because it is your life. And one day, you may have a story to tell to someone that will change their life in a very special way. Donna Sebo here. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna. We'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at VBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.